Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
As we stand, we're getting into the Word of God. This is the last of a series on the beauty of holiness. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. You'll find the accompanying verses after I read mine on that you'll be able to respond to what God has to say to us today. Reading verse 1, it says, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." But if anyone loves God, this is one is known by him.
Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one.
For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge for some. With conscience of the idols until now, eat if a thing is offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak.
For if anyone sees you without knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols?
And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for which Christ died? Read 13 together. This is a big one, okay? Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, but I may make my brother stumble. Boy, that's a big statement. I'm going to leave my hamburgers behind for you. Let's pray. Father, I am so glad today that we can just talk about this from the standpoint of what holiness is all about. Because we get confused, I get confused over the things that we would sacrifice and we think we've sacrificed, but really all we've done is we've made a choice in the realm of what is going to be the best for everyone concerned. And today as we finish talking about, or at least for now, the beauty of holiness, Lord, it's a choice of how much we want to identify with you and the things of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. Give us the insight and wisdom that we need to leave this place edified, built up, and strengthened to do your will and to bring your life to this world through the fact of our example through Jesus. Thank you, God, for all that you're about to do, and thank you for this day. We give all these things to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's be seated. Go ahead. You know, holiness has never been a... It was never intended to be a source of intimidation or actually of frustration to the life of the believer that desires to be all the Lord intends for him to be. In other words, Jesus desires for us to be just like him, and the DNA of his character is holiness and is available to all who will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit through obedience to the Word of God. So it's not something that is unattainable, but there's some sacrifice involved. And I think there's sometimes when we look at the whole context of things, sometimes you have to sacrifice what you want for the better of somebody else. Ever done that before? Those of you who haven't are selfish. You could have done it, but because of someone else, you laid it aside. Holiness is all about not getting what you want, but it's doing what Jesus wants you to do. Now here we go with I'm going to make some statements rather than ask questions. First one is this. Holiness will be manifest in the life of a believer who chooses to obey the Word of God. Now, that's a choice. It's always a choice whether you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Because he says, I set before you life and death, blessing or a curse, but you get to choose which one you're going to choose, which one you want. I would that you choose life. And I love that scripture because it is so profound, because God knows that we're stupid. So he says, I want to give you the answer. I would that you choose life. That's the right answer. But you're confused. I'm so confused. Yeah, okay. Choose life. Second statement. Holiness will separate us from the world, but will draw people to us through our surrender to the Lord's will. Now, holiness for a lot of times, people with separatism. You know, I don't run around with people who do all these various things I think are unholy. But really, that isn't what it's about. It's not putting you on an island. It's putting you in a place where you'll be the most effective person to bring people to Jesus. People will be drawn to you, not shunning you. You know, I know that sometimes people, through their holiness, have put themselves over there in an island. Nobody wants to talk to them. They're afraid to say the wrong thing. But I believe that God can do some things with us. Here's a third statement. Holiness will cause us to live a life that is free from regrets and condemnation due to ungodly choices. If there's one thing I want to accomplish today, is I want to free you from all the regrets of things that you haven't done or things that you have done that you shouldn't have done. Holiness wants to set you free. Because some people, when they come to church, sometimes people won't come to church because where they were Saturday night or last week or something they said, oh, I can't go there. Everybody else is all holy in the sight of today. I'm this wretched person. You're in the right place at the right time. If you don't feel holy, it's not a feeling, it's a presence of Jesus that surrounds all the choices that you made. And once you surrender to God, saying, you know, that was a mistake. And God says, I'll cleanse you. My blood's already atoned for your situation, which is a beautiful thing. Well, our conscience is the umpire of our soul. Let me explain to you what that means. James chapter 4, verse 17. This is a great scripture. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Notice it says that when you know to do good and you don't do it, that's what sin is all about. Where there's no law, there's no sin. Now, if you go from culture to culture, and from various places in the world, there's some things that are obvious. You know, murder is a sin in every culture. Over there, oh, it's okay. Just if you don't like them, kill them. Perfectly fine. If God wants them to live. Oh, let me fix this thing. Sorry about that. Are we losing you? Are you back yet? Is that better? Oh, thank you so much. I don't know. I'm messing things up here. Okay. All right. Where was I? Oh, I'll find myself. Oh, we'll talk about murder. Talk about killing you, okay? I'm going to resurrect you right now. No, there's some things that are obvious. But then again, in some cultures, they're not so obvious. I remember one of the biggest struggles I had when I was in Tanzania, Africa, was their culture over there in the Maasai tribe is you'd have these old men marrying these young girls. And the fellow would have 7, 8, 9 wives. And, you know, he'd buy them with goats. And I'm thinking, that is so wrong. But you know what happens? That Jesus can come into that particular culture and he can turn it around. He can bring light to that situation. The things that you didn't think were wrong, when the Holy Spirit comes along and brings conviction, and then now you got under this law here, therefore him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. From that point on, you are responsible for what you know. Amen. Up until then, you can dwell in ignorance, but once you know the truth, you can't hide behind the fact, oh, I didn't know that was wrong. Okay? All right, holiness is solidified in our life through making wise choices and decisions. The Holy Spirit is a promise of Jesus to guide us to all truth and righteousness. If you're ever confused about something, how about asking Jesus? Don't ask me. Because I am biased. There are several things I'll tell you not to do. I will tell you jogging is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. You waste good knees, a good body on that. Take a little spin on a bicycle, especially one that's a stationary bike, because where you get on, you get off. This is wisdom. I'm prophesying to you, okay? So don't expect me to know the answer to your situation. But we cannot find truth if we're unwilling to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit will lead you into all truth and righteousness. Ask God, and he'll tell you. And you can trust him to give you something that will bring truth to your life. Well, knowing to the right thing to do and not doing, intentionally sinning against what you know to be right. Well, you know, the thing that really bothers me, people say, oh, I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know I need to stop this. I know. No, you don't. You have an idea in your mind, but you do not in agreement, so you don't know it. You're not knowing it till you're doing it. Amen. Clue phone, pick it up. Well, we do not truly know something until we're willing to put into practice. John chapter 8, 32. Here we go. John 8, 32. They're coming. John 8, 32 is all for you. It's coming. Didn't they put it into rotation? It didn't come then? Well, fix my mic. Again, I don't know how I messed this thing up. It's just so jacked out of shape here. Let's see. There we go. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Whoa. Truth does not put you into bondage. Truth brings you into freedom. You know, these people who have got a religion say, oh, another thing I got to do. You know, and some people don't go to church because there's another thing I'll never be able to do. Holiness is not giving you a whole list of things that you got to adhere to, but it's the peace of God that abides in your heart that brings you closer to Jesus, and you want to be like Jesus. Anybody want to be like Jesus? Wave your hand at me. The truth brings you that experience. Well, knowing the truth and not acting right obviously is a pinnacle of hypocrisy. Somebody says, I know I really shouldn't be doing this. Really? Then why are you doing it? Because I want to. But I thought your want-tos belonged to Jesus. Well, they do, sometimes. One lady was asked, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? And she gave an answer like this, indeed I am, sometimes, but not yet. If you're asking me, am I saved from the power of sin? You know, indeed I am, according to the Word of God. If I'm indeed saved from the sin in my life, well, sometimes. If you're asking me if I'm saved from the presence of sin, not yet. Indeed I am, sometimes, but not yet. Now, does that fit into the theology of the Bible? I think it does. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit that brings us into perfect alignment with the Holy Spirit if we're indeed will allow him to do that. So if we do not truly know something until we're willing to do it, put into practice, then we shall say we shall know the truth and the truth will be able to allow us to walk into total freedom without condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's the Word of God. And if you're walking down condemnation all the time, snap. I don't want to do that. You don't have to. Well, holiness is the act of willingly forsaking our personal rights in order to edify and build up another person. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. This is good stuff for you. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, here's a question for you. What things have you lost since you came to Jesus that you regret losing? Well, I lost my best friend. I lost partying on Saturday nights. I really liked that. It was a part of my identity, and I miss my friends. I miss the high life. But I guess it's, Jesus is okay. I'll make it. Really? Let me read a little bit further to help you. That I may gain Christ and be found in him. Now watch this. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Don't you want to have righteousness that's not all twisted with your theology interpretation? What does that mean? It means this. We sin against Christ when we insist on having freedoms that will bring others into bondage. Now, I need to tell you something, and please, I hope you take this the right way. Remember I talked the other day about, you know, about alcohol drinking, this other type of thing, and that Jesus did not make wine that did not have alcohol in it? I told you that, and it's true. Because they said, he saved the best wine till last. They didn't mean he saved the best grape juice till last. It had a kick to it, I'm sure. Otherwise, they wouldn't say the best wine till last. Now, if you take this as a license to drinking, you're foolish. Because remember, another place he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled, as some people do, but be filled with the Spirit. So if you're choosing to get inebriated so you can be who you think you ought to be, there's a problem. Okay? Oh, I can just be, this brings out the real me. That slow gin fizz does something for me. Singapore Sling, Harvey Wallbanger. How do I know all those names? My daddy told me what they were. I have never consumed any of that stuff. Now, let me tell you real quickly my story. I probably had a total of maybe 3 ounces of alcohol in my life. Now, that's not a testimony to me. It's just who I am. But I want to tell you why I don't drink. It's not your story. It's mine. Because it fits in with the story that, you know, if it causes someone to stumble, I'll never do it. But I'll never forget this. My next door neighbor, her name was Wanda Wilson. And Wanda Wilson's dad was a committed alcoholic. Committed. And he would drink all the time, and she was, you know, he's the only little girl and this type of thing. And I remember one time he got so drunk, and she was living there with him. They had these stairs and went up to their house. And he got so drunk this one particular Saturday, Friday night, it was usually Friday nights he get drunk. He'd get all the way up to the stairs, and you've seen people, they just fall all the way back down. He'd make another run for it. Oh, get up top! Come all the way down. And then the last time he tried to get up the stairs, he got to the top and he fell over in the bushes and passed out. Wanda was 8 years old. And I remember in my mind this little girl crying her eyes out because daddy's over there in the bushes. Nobody to help her. She's going to be alone that night. She goes inside, she turns the light off, and she just cried herself to sleep. Now, it may not have impacted you that way, and you go ahead and do whatever, and I will never judge anyone for drinking, ever. But for me, I said, it put something in my spirit. If drinking does that to you, I will never put myself in that position. That's me. Because the thing about it is, sometimes you sacrifice certain things for people who have gone through this thing, you know, people who are in that are stuck in an alcohol cycle. I will never judge you for that. But as for me, for a person who can say, you know what? I'm willing to give that up to help somebody on their journey to find Jesus, to let them know it's possible. Because, you know, I've used this quote before. I cannot tell you of too many homes, probably not any, that have held families together, but I can tell you of a whole lot of them that alcohol has torn apart. That's my thought process. Doesn't make me a good guy, doesn't make me some superhero, but I think you need to understand me where I'm coming from. But you know something? It don't bother me. Have whatever you want. Harvey Wallbanger, or the other one that they said, Singapore Sling, you know, Bloody Mary. Some of these names sound really bad. I mean, fix it up, you know. Happy Mary, that'd be great. Okay, here we go. Sorry. Our liberty and freedom should never be exercised as expense of someone being led into bondage. How about this? The Holy Spirit desires to use us as an agent of building up one another. I want you to leave here today and say, Lord, give me an opportunity to build somebody up by the choices that I'm making. That'll be a good thing. Well, moving on, it says, laying down our rights to personal preference to spare our brother's conscience is a work of the Spirit manifesting through grace in us. And to exercise our freedom and liberties while creating a stumbling block for others is not true holiness. It's not. I know you can't handle this. Get over it. Really? Really? How about this? We should never feel deprived of our rights at the expense of forsaking them to help somebody else who is struggling. One of the things that I have learned in these days that we're in now of the opioid crisis that we're facing as a nation And I have compassion and love for people who are going through that. And matter of fact, there's a particular fellow friend of mine, son, who I have every intent of helping him through his addiction. You say, well, how can you help somebody through someplace you've never been? When I see you miserable, when I see you breaking up relationships, when I see you destroying your life, and I can't identify with the fact that I know you're struggling and I'm not willing to help you, say, well, it's your choice. If you want to die, go ahead. Where is Jesus in that? We must trust the Holy Spirit to work holiness in us, and we must keep our eyes on Jesus and not on the things that we surrender in obedience to his commands. You guys who think you're, you know, superheroes for what you've done, get over that too. Just be like me. If you're careful, you can be strong and able to handle all these things. If you could just be like me. Really? I'm not interested. Thank you very much. Our love for the Lord is demonstrated when we choose to sacrifice our best in order that we might make him known to others. But anyway, this last little piece is this. We must trust more in the power of the Holy Spirit than our ability to abstain from the things that we would rather have or do. You know, I'd really rather do this, but because you're here, I'm not going to do it. You know, you've ruined my day. I hope you feel okay with that. I could be out having fun, but oh no, oh no, you with your weak, pitiful self, and I'm sitting here to kind of babysit you, and you're a Pharisee. Better get some more scripture in here. We must adopt the power of holiness that subscribes to WDIM. What is that? Widom. That's what it is. It means, well, let's go into Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 27, then I'm going to tell you. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Next couple of verses we got. For what profit is for a man who gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. That is such a packed scripture. I couldn't unpack it all today, but I'm just going to take a few little tidbits from it that will help us. WDIM, what does it matter? What does it matter? We have a tendency, I have the tendency at times to major on the minors and minor on the majors. Ever get stuck in a particular place where you're just manifesting? You just can't let go. I'm trying, case in point, God always gives me something. I went to Costco the other day and I bought some mangoes. These weren't regular mangoes, these weren't dried mangoes, these were flavored, chili-covered mangoes with spices on them. And I said, ooh, this really sounds good. And I bought me a bag of them things. I opened them things up. Those were the nastiest things I ever ate in my life. I mean to tell you, I was, oh, no, 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 no. I had to testify, oh, no, no, these are. I bought those on, I think it was, I bought them on Thursday. And they sat on the counter on Friday, said, I can't do this. I said, I got to take them things back. Now, you know, Saturday at Costco is a very busy day, right? I didn't care how busy they were, they're going to get the mangoes back. Because I didn't want the nasty things. I mean, it was awful. But my expectation was when I got this, oh, this is going to be great because I like hot things. I could not find peace till I gave them their mangoes back. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you get free. What does it matter? It mattered a lot to me. I need to let them know. And so I bring up the counter, and she says, oh, I see you're bringing these back. I said, yes. I said, you should ban these from sale. These are not good. I said, I've only brought two things back to Costco, and this is the second one. Don't ever show me these again. In Jesus' name, have a good day. That mattered to me, to leave my home, to go through all the, because I couldn't rest. I can obsess on things. You see, Pastor, mangoes? But now I'm free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. What did it matter? I needed to get it taken care of. And now I'm free. No more mangoes, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Holiness will help us separate the things that matter to us that shouldn't and the things that don't matter to us that should. Now then the Lord, as I'm doing this whole thing, the Lord says, now you're really hooked on these mango things. He says, what about the things that matter to me that you're not doing? All of a sudden, the mangoes weren't that bad. Self-denial is the key to the element of finding the pathway to holy daily living. And sometimes, you know what God is trying to tell us? And I'll be willing, the first one to take the hit. Some things we need to let go of. I'm kind of embarrassed even bringing that story, but it will help you. If I look kind of foolish to you, it'll help you to let go of some of this stuff you're still hanging on to. Because some things you're hanging on to are a lot greater than mangoes. There are things that happened to you years ago. There are situations that people did to you, you know, months and months ago, or maybe just last week. And you are still sitting in this room today, and the devil has passed it through your mind several times that, you know, you don't ever have to deal with her again. And the way she did you, I would never call her again. I'd take her out of your speed dial. Well, the daily decisions to take up our cross, to follow Jesus, will keep us on the pathway that leads to holiness. That means that the greatest struggle that we will have with holy living will be decisions that we make to preserve parts of our life that we really should abandon. I can make an altar call right now, and I'm sure there are people who are honest and say, how many people are still holding on to things that you know you need to let go of? There'd be probably half this audience who would come forward, if you're honest. I'm not going to do it now. I'll do it later. Because you have to find out what really matters. Holiness is not a platitude. It's an opportunity for you to be like Jesus. In the times when people have done things to people that said things to Jesus, tried to kill him, you know, lied on him, this other type of thing. And Jesus says, you know, what does it matter? Because I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to take every sin, every lie, every deception, it's going to be nailed to the cross, and from that point on, people can be free. Wow. That's what real holiness is about. Well, could you consider this? Many of the things that we focus on in reality do not matter, or we do not have the power to change them if they did. Ever struggle with something you're trying to change somebody that is unchangeable? Okay, let's talk about your kids. You spend more sleepless nights, like, if she'd only get her act together, if he'd only not do this particular thing, man, you know what? And how is that working for you? And you cannot draw close to Jesus because you are still stuck in that place trying to fix them. Jesus wants to fix you. It doesn't mean you're passive and you don't care. But the thing about it is, he'll cause us to focus on things that are out of our control. And is this, what does it matter? It matters to Jesus, but we turn it over to him and he will handle it for you. You can't fix it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So, that's quite a deal here. So we have a little control over how about this? Since your life has already been saved by Jesus, we should be free from the worry of losing it. What does that mean? Give me some practical operations of that. We have little or no control over the value people put on our relationship with them. Ever discover in a relationship that you valued it more than the other person did? You thought you were just really tight, and you found out that you were not that tight with him? That you weren't even loose with him? You weren't even thought of by, I'm gonna hurt somebody, but let me leave it alone. But your illusion was, oh, I thought we were the best of friends. I thought when you baked me that cake that you really, and you guys are hyperventilating over all kinds of things. Sometimes we're delusional in our thinking, or we misread the signs. Let me help you with this a little further. Our goal in life is to live a life of surrender to Jesus that will override any false perception of who Jesus has made us to be. Some of us believe we're very loving, caring, honest, generous people. You might be. But then again, you might not. Can Jesus be the final judge in all the things you're doing? Or do you want to live in la-la land of your experience? It won't work out well for you. I'm just about done, but there's a couple of other things I think that would help you. We will find holiness in our life when it is lost in our love for Jesus, will being done in and through us. That means we must trust the Holy Spirit to work holiness in us. It's not something that you hear. It's like he works it into you. And holiness is just basically learning how to make right decisions at the right time with the right motive. That seems reasonable. What about this? If we do not change our focus to Jesus, we will never be able to change our life. How many of you remember that song you learned years ago? Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Anybody know that song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Help me sing it. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The part I like about this, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Would you live in the light of God's glory and grace rather than in all the confusion and doubt and of things of this world? That's what Jesus wants us to do. Well, the little conclusive thought would be this. Our righteousness is in Christ alone. The Holy Spirit will walk you out of your addiction. You say, how are you getting to the addiction thing? What do you mean? Addictions are anything that will capture your soul and hold it hostage and disconnected from Christ. I thought it was opioids. Nope. The things that you let matter that will keep you from drawing close to Jesus, that's your addiction. Television shows, entertainment, food, whatever it happens to be. Food? Peach cobbler. It can get you on the wrong road. But I know, I've prophesied there will be some at the picnic. I prophesied. But addictions are anything that will capture your soul and hold it hostage and disconnect from Christ. W-I-D-M means will override our desire for purity and wholeness. We allow the enemy access to our soul through unbelief in the power of the Spirit to set us free. You can't imagine ever being free from, you fill in the blank. Can I get real, very, very strongly real with people sitting right in this room right now? The separation from you being holy is an addictive sense that this thing you believe is stronger than the relationship that Jesus has purchased for you already. And you'll go back and you'll reset and you'll go back to it again and again and again, and you'll apologize, you'll cry and weep and moan. But I want to offer you an opportunity to be set free once and for all. And that simply means this. When we yield to the power of the Spirit, we will allow the power of Jesus to set us free from the law of sin and death. And that means we must be willing to walk away from things forever for the sake of Christ. How do you do that? How do you know forever is forever? How do you know that you're never going to go back to that? And that is a fearful thing that the enemy will tell you. Yeah, you made that commitment. You went to the altar call the last time. You said you're going to stop smoking or stop drinking or stop doing this, and it didn't work. It won't work because we're trusting in us to make it happen. Jesus will empower you. That is not an it. It's all about him. And our focus is not on it. It's on him who's able to keep you when you don't feel like you can be kept. Here's the little thoughts that we're going to come to. So Jesus took our sins into the grave with himself. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. These are anchors you're going to land on. For we must be willing to walk away from those things forever. And if Christ in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of Christ, because of righteousness. What does that say? It says, what? The body is dead because of sin? But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Well, verse 11. But if the spirit of him, whoa, I love this. Come on, get ready to shout. But if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, watch this, will also give life to your mortal bodies and through his spirit who dwells in you. In other words, the life you didn't think you have, the Holy Spirit is able to give life to your body. That the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that which is in you that you feel like you can't get control of, will empower your mind to walk away from that thing you said I could never leave behind. Wow. Second thing is, Christ is alive in us. Galatians 2:20. I love this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now watch this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body right now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. God loves you right now. Oh, man. And one other scripture, the very last little principle is this. We must walk in the confidence in the power of God that's alive in us. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Worship team, come back up here. We're about ready to go. As you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now watch this. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You know, the way to freedom is through praise and worshiping God for all that he's done in your life. Well, here's some thoughts that you can marinate on. I hope they'll give you a copy of this. If you don't, just log on the website, you'll get it. First one is, as believers, we walk with purpose, not preference. And that means simply this. Holiness is the identity that is given to us by the Lord. He says, you're holy. You didn't call yourself holy. He called you holy. Secondly, living holy is living free from guilt, shame, and condemnation. And I want to say something to people sitting here right now. If you're dealing with guilt, shame, or condemnation, Jesus wants to free you from that. And we're going to pray about that in just a moment. Holiness is freedom we embrace when we worship the Lord with all our heart. And the beauty of holiness is that we are welcomed into his presence and we can stay there as long as we want. Ever been to a place and you're sorry because the party was over and it was time for everybody to leave? They turn the lights on and start gathering up all the stuff and you got to leave and you weren't ready to go? Some of you are silly. You needed to go home, but I'm talking about a whole different experience. That you come to a church service, and you come to a place where the Holy Spirit is so present and so real, that you don't want to leave. You don't have to. that power and that presence will live and reside in you. The beauty of holiness is not an experience, it's a reality of a lifestyle that you live. Everybody, bow your heads with me, please. I want to move back to a couple things I talked about. About some of you that are stuck in things that really don't matter, but you convince yourself they do matter. And you're looking for your identity from people here, either approving or disapproving of things that you've done or they don't want you to do. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to invade a part of your life that maybe the door has been shut for a long period of time. But I want to repeat that to you. What does it really matter if a person gains the whole world and loses his own soul, or what will you give in exchange for your soul? I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, I'm going to ask for people who will come forward today and say, you know, Pastor, I'm tired of struggling. And maybe for the first time in your life, you're saying, you know, if holiness is something that God offers to people who will give their life over to him, I'm willing to trust God with everything that's within me. Not trust my past or my past failures, but to move forward in Jesus in a way that my confidence is in him. And he's the one that's going to do it. Let me pray for you. Jesus, there are men and women in this room today who have found themselves in a place where they've tried to live holy, they've tried to make good decisions, and somehow they let the matters of the world or things that people have thought about them or their reputation or things that they've, mistakes they've made in the past, that's hanging over their head, and the enemy's convinced them they can never be forgiven. Lord, the person that sits here this morning that has just a whole a lot of things that are hanging over their head right now that they regret. Holiness can be obtained without regret because we give it over to you. In the name of Jesus, I set people free. In the name of Jesus, I give people a door of opportunity to be free from the addiction of that thing that they believe has become their identity, to a new realm of really trusting Jesus to be the author and finisher of their faith. With every head bowed and with every eye closed, you're here today, God's speaking to you, and we have plenty of time because you can sit here for a few moments before everyone goes to the park. There'll be plenty of food there, so don't worry about that. But we will pray with you today that you can get your life in alignment with Jesus and have the best day of your life, the best time of fellowship you ever have. Jesus is talking to you right now. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now. Lift it up and say, you know, Pastor, I need that today. That's right. Leave it up. Put it up there. Go ahead. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.